Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is an incredible life coach, meditation teacher, and most importantly, a good friend of mine, whose work focuses on becoming your best version rather than falling into the expectations of others. Please welcome Amy Barnes.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's so good to catch up with you. And we were saying off air, I feel like transparency for the listeners, I'm very glad to be chatting to you today because I'm feeling a bit delicate because some stuff to do with an ex came up for me last week in therapy. And so, yeah, it's nice to be chatting to a friend.
A very honest friend as well.
Yeah, maybe that's the catch. Maybe you'll be too real with me. Maybe this is the episode I get called out. I don't know. And so will you set the scene a little bit about your work and this concept and indeed the name of your business, Gambaroo?
Gambaroo is a Japanese word and the meaning behind it is the tendency to snog on through tough times to do one's best. Just when I came across it a few years ago, I was like, it just felt so right for my business because I just believe all any of us can do is our best and be the best version of ourselves. And I think probably we're all on a journey to do that. And my business is exactly what that is about. I offer a range of services, obviously coaching, one-on-one personal coaching. I do business coaching, teams coaching. I also offer Reiki and EFT and cacao ceremonies. And I think really, I believe it's about everyone having and creating their own little toolbox and being able to dip into that and get what they need depending on what they need at the time. And I think that can look and feel very differently for us all at different times. You know, I think, you know, Bobby, we're probably quite heady people, is that fair to say? I know I definitely am. I'm very much an overthinker. I'm in my head and, you know, that's not always good to always your default point to be maybe, you know, to stay in your head with maybe talk therapy, etc. I think it's really good to have a toolbox. And when we need to be able to use breathwork or to use EFT or to use Reiki to get into our bodies. And then at other times, you know, maybe talk therapy is exactly what we need. So I think it's about people being able to have their own little toolbox that they can dip in and dip out of when they need to. That's what Gambaroo is all about, offering different services for people.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I very much talked about, like on my mental health podcast, this idea of having your own formula, you know, that what mental health means for you can be completely different. What self-care means, what your routine needs to be. Some people like not having a routine, it just knocks them off balance. And for other people, a routine is oppressive. They find their mood just goes through the floor and they need everything to be free. And I think I know which type we are because you work very hard. So if anyone's going to be the authority on working hard and being your best through difficult times, I think you've got some experience. To swing on to talking about dating, you've got a story for us?
Yeah. So Bobby was asking me, you were asking me to give one of my worst dating stories. And I was having a little think. And I think the only time I really truly remember being on a date and thinking, what the absolute fuck, was a few years ago. I had met a guy online and on paper, seemed good job, seemed a good looking guy, seemed to kind of tick all the boxes. And he had arranged a date, had booked a nice place for drinks and food, et cetera, et cetera. So we met on like a Friday night about like 7 p.m. And I'd say, Bobby knows, like I would talk to anybody.
If you were more into retired older men, you could have a boyfriend every day of the week because she is a demon for them. Take her to any pub and she'll make friends with all the oldies but goodies.
Yeah, talk to anyone. And even, you know, if I was on a date and they weren't necessarily my type or whatever, I'd just be like, second, make the most of it, have a good night, have a crack, have a laugh. But I'd say it was about 20 minutes into this date, I soon realized, well, he is off his face on drugs. And I was like, no, maybe I'm wrong. It's about 7:15 on a Friday evening, it's the first date. Like, surely he wasted like 11 p.m. before he started on the okay. But as it transpired, it just, you know, he started to kind of open up, and I don't mind deep, meaningful conversations, but it started to really take a very downward spiral, very too much information. There is such a thing as too much information on a first date. Let's be real about it. But that I could deal with. And then we actually left that venue to go to we had booked for drinks. And just within that, he just got like so abusive. So he said something to me about sex and I was kind of like, oh, I don't really have like one light stand. That's just something I don't do. And he like literally just effed and blinded me out of it. He said to me, do you think you're Mother Teresa?
What?
I literally like
it's his first time coming across someone that doesn't want to have sex with him. I find that hard to believe.
I just got up and I was like, the first time ever I got up and I was like, I'm going to say goodbye. And I was walking away from the table like, here, I'm shouting out. We said, don't worry about a phone, I'll pay for the meal. And I was walking to the venue and I was in the taxi, just drove into the first taxi seat. And then I looked at my watch and I was like, the absolute fucking error, 90 minutes.
Wow, look, I mean, you persevered.
So yeah, I did leave him with the bill.
As is your right, yeah, in that situation. I mean,
I'm not staying here for this. And it would take a lot for me to do that, but I was like, no, I can't even try and be pleasant and leave this on a nice note. No, goodbye.
What a time. And look, I don't know, does he have some kind of dependency there? Was he nervous? Yes. And he's like, oh, this is the answer, I'll be high. That'll make everything go smoothly. But I can definitely relate to the part around someone opening up too much, because I think we have that in common. Like, people feel comfortable to share things with us and that's great, but it's not always sexy, you know. That makes me feel protective of a person. That doesn't make me feel like, ooh, more dates, more of this.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, we love a bit of DMC and I love people being real and I hate small talk, but at the same time, you know, not everyone deserves to get to hear your deepest and darkest moments either. You know what I mean? And I kind of query, if someone's coming out of that information too soon, are they offloading because they need to? And therefore, is this a date or is this a therapy session?
Yeah. And also, you know, who is that about? Because, you know, a date like this is between the two of you. And so if it's like a big offloading session for you and it feels indiscriminate in that way of like, oh, I'm listening to them and therefore, you know, or would they be like this with any woman they sit down with? You don't know.
Yeah.
Then you're like, well, yeah, you don't know me either. You don't know that you should trust me with all this information. You also don't know me because you're not asking me about myself.
Yeah.
And so tell me about, are there any times that come to mind of better dates and what's made those so good?
I think, do you know what? I think sometimes you just click with someone and you know instantly, and it's an energetic thing. And that's why I am a big fan of meeting people out naturally, because I think you just instantly know, you can pick up on someone's energy, you can pick up on their vibe, and you just know if you've got that connection with someone. And it's very hard to put that into words. That's a feeling. And that's what I think about online dating. Like, I haven't been online dating now in a few years, but a few years ago, I would have done a good bit of online dating. And I think the thing was that, you know, you're going on a picture, and let's face it, like, especially with lads, a lot of them don't have the greatest photos of themselves. That's what you are judging. But actually, back then, I remember there was a few times, it sounds bad, there was definitely 2 to 3 different times where I was out and about on different occasions, and a guy actually came up to me and said, oh, I actually seen you on Tinder or whatever, you know, and you didn't match me, or you matched me and I messaged you and you didn't reply. And I was like, oh, and what that probably was, when being completely transparent, I probably looked again and thought, because sometimes I'd match people and I think, yeah, I'd match you, but then they'd message you like, yeah, but I'd look at them again, like, no, I don't think I'd really message them. But when I met them in real life, because they had good energy, good chat, good banter, if they'd have just come up to me in a night out and asked me on a date, I 100% would have went. But I completely dismiss them on online dating.
Like, if you're unsure of people, that can be what wins you over. They have good chat, or the way they approach you is respectful or friendly. It's easier to see yourself with somebody when they're not just a face on a phone. Also, I mean, if they're going to win you over, the approach is meet you organically. It's not, you didn't talk to me, we matched and you didn't talk back. I don't know who they think they're winning over with that part. People sometimes talk about this phenomenon with particularly the swiping apps. It seems to always be the person that you're on the fence about that then you get an instant match with, and you're like, oh shit, like, I was maybe rounding up on them. And on second look, you're like, I don't know about this.
There's so much to be said for meeting people organically out and about.
But tell me how.
Isn't that hard though? I think people think it's hard, right? Obviously, it's hard, you don't go out. I have a friend, doesn't want to go on the apps, refuses to go on the apps. But she literally does not leave her house. only for work. And she expects someone to tap on her door and, you know, be her knight in shining armor. She tells a story like that her mom and dad like met 40, 50 years ago randomly on Dublin bus, which is beautiful, but she's expecting that to happen. But in order for that to happen, you have to be open and available for it. You have to put yourself out there. So you need to be going out and socializing. And if drinking is not your thing, then that's fine. You have to be then going to places where you potentially would meet people.
Yeah.
And then when you're there, you have to be open to actually chat to people.
Yeah. And I think that is a lot of it. We can feel like we've lost some of those skills or that we never had them in the first place. And can we blame, you know, the pandemic? Can we blame dating apps? There's a lot of chat about what that is, but there can be this thing of needing to work up to approaching people IRL. Maybe not for you, but...
No, it can, but I think it's about setting the intention. You know what I mean? I'm going to go out there, I'm going to put myself out, and I'm going to be open to meeting new people. That's a lot of it. Because, you know, if you've this mindset, well, I'll never meet anyone now, I'm not going to meet anyone. Of course you're not.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy. It's so true. No, I do really prescribe to that. Like, I try and set up, like... Every day of work or whatever is going to be a good day. And then subconsciously, you start looking for justification for that. You start looking for the ways in which you're going to be right, because we all want to be right. There's that cognitive dissonance. And the person that comes in and they're like, I'm not in the mood for customers today. Well, guess what? You're going to meet customers. And you're going to find the one that you dislike and you're going to have a rant about them versus all the ones that were actually grand.
Yeah, because that's the vibration that you're working at energetically. When we reflect on myself and the days that, you know, you're having a bad day, like it snowballs then, doesn't it? And you nearly need to shake off that energy. And I hate saying this, like, but I think Irish people as a culture as well, we can't be a little bit like, oh, the weather, this government thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is it. And then you can nearly feel like you have to speak in that way because it's going to be abrasive to others. Like, I can't, you know, you can't love the weather because someone's being like, what? What are you talking about? You know, actually, the rain doesn't bother me. I quite like it. And it really doesn't rain as much in Dublin as everyone wants to say. I'm going to defend it.
So, yeah, I think people need to get rid of the dating apps and put themselves out there.
Talk to me about times that's happened for you. Who have you met out and about?
This is another thing, too. I went on a date and, again, it was through an app. And when I met the guy, it was a Sri Lankan guy. We were having a chat, blah, blah, blah. And he goes to me. After a while, like, he goes to me, oh, I actually, like, was showing you, it must have been, like, I don't know, whether it was my profile on the dating app or my Instagram, whatever, I was showing you to my sister. And she said, oh, they'll be nodding in her head.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What?
Yeah. And he was pleasantly surprised there was something going on in my head. But back to that again, you know, we all do it. We all judge. And like, we all judge people based on appearance or based on what we think we see on their social media or on their dating app. And what is that? Like a few photos, and the majority of us get our photos taken when we're on a layout or on a holiday. So it's very one-dimensional. Do you know what I mean? And you know a person or you have a perception of a person based on a photo. And realistically, there's so many different layers to us all.
And I definitely think there's a big part there around meeting people. IRL, because you don't have that same chance to build up that picture. It's interesting because it reminds me of various conversations I've had with people in the dating industry, whether they work for apps or they are dating coaches. And there often is this thread of the person that's right for you won't necessarily be who you're expecting. And sometimes that can sound a bit like, you know, lower your expectations, which I don't agree with. You have your expectations. You get what you want. But I think often what they're really saying is be open to being surprised. And maybe that's a much better position if we can put ourselves in that of like, I'm going on a night out. Maybe I'll meet someone. Maybe I won't. But I'll be chatty and I'll be open. And we'll see what happens versus the opposite of that, that we're describing maybe is like having someone you've met on an app and then you've built this whole picture of them of like, oh, all these photos of them on holiday, they're a traveler, they must be so much fun. It's like, maybe they travel because they hate their job. Like maybe they're actually awful to be around unless they've got a margarita in their hand in Spain.
And also too, like we're talking about, you know, showing the best version of yourself. Your social media is your highlight reel. Like let's face it, you don't take photos and you're having a shit day and you're crying. And actually people that do that, I question as well, because when you're really in a dark place, who thinks, oh, let's get out my phone and video myself crying? You know, so that's another story. But your social media and your dating apps, they're your highlight reel. So it has to be taken with a pinch of salt. All you can do is maybe judge, does someone look attractive to me? Does someone look sexy to me? Do I like the vibe of them? But you don't know with the photo.
Yeah, because otherwise you're setting up this whole series of assumptions that you can then be really disappointed by.
Yeah. And I think girls are very, very quick to do that. Like, they nearly run away with the story of who they think that person is. And they've nearly fallen in love and married off that person before they've even got to maybe like a first or second date.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. I mean, I've also fallen for that. I've fallen for that at times of like dating the idea of somebody or dating their potential. Maybe even the next step is you meet them and you're still clinging onto the story. You're like, oh, but like if they... you know, they hate their job. If they just got a new job, maybe they'd be happier. Like, and then I'm like, when did I become their problem solver?
I know.
You know,
I think that is the worst thing. Falling for someone's potential is the worst thing anyone can do.
Yeah, particularly if they don't believe it. Like, yeah. It's real. It's real dull to be somebody's cheerleader when they don't believe any of the anthems.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like falling for someone's potential is just dangerous. Everyone has potential, but that potential may never lead to anything. You have to meet someone where they are at today, and you have to be really honest, like, what's this person bringing to the table? And is that a table I want to sit at? Not what could be at their table in 2 months, 2 years, 20 years. It's like, what's on it today? So I think for me, the first two questions, if I was really, really going to look at dating potential, I really care about how the other person answers. These aren't going to be the questions you think they would be. They're not in stupid, what do you work at? Where do you live? None of that. Don't give a shit about any of that. The two questions I would care about is, first question, how do you sleep? Second question, how's your relationship with your mother?
Oh, and you wonder why they tell you everything on a date. Yeah, that's totally a coincidence. Can't explain it.
Totally ask those two questions. That will tell you everything. How are you sleeping, parents? But like, tell them that. How someone sleeps is a great question.
I don't think you're wrong, because my version of that is often like, it is to do with people's work. I guess second to sleep, that's the thing you're doing the most time in your life. And therefore, if somebody hates their job, it's a massive turnoff for me, you know, for both of us, because I'm like, well, you're not enjoying it. If we were together, I'm going to have to hear about it all the time. Like, who is this fun for? You know, and... I think part of that presenting yourself in the best light is, do I have a life for myself that somebody would want to jump in on? Because I think it's very fair to want that when you're the one jumping in.
Yeah. And like, the thing is too, we're all human. We're all going to go through ups, downs. Life is not perfect and we're not perfect. And no one is fully healed or has their shit together. So let's put that out there as well. But it's kind of like, if I'm working hard on myself and trying to be the best version of myself, are you doing that too? It doesn't mean you're not going to go through hard times. It doesn't mean you can't hold space for who you're with. Of course, you're going to need to do that. That's a relationship. There's no such thing as a perfect person or a perfect relationship, I don't believe. But it's about, you know, what are people doing for themselves? Are they falling into that kind of victim mentality? Is he like that, you know, in an unhappy job, a horrible place to be? I've been there before, but it comes a point where you're like, I'm not a tree. I have to move. I have to do something to make changes in my life, to step into my power. Yeah, I think unless you're in a good place yourself, it's very hard to go into a good relationship because we are a mirror for what we attract. It's not always nice to reflect on that, but I do think there's a serious element of truth in there.
Yeah, it's true. And it's, you know, not necessarily something to take in a blame way of like, oh, that kind of mentality of, well, you're the common denominator. Like, I think that can get a bit finger pointy in a way that's unhelpful, because it's like, okay, well, you're starting new relationships. That's the first step. How can we find people you're actually more compatible with? And maybe a certain amount of that is inner work, is self-reflection.
100%. You know, intimate relationships are the number one trigger to highlight to you where you need to do the work. And we all have still work to do. No matter how long we live, we're growing, we're evolving. I believe we'll always have work to do. I think intimate relationships really highlight, trigger where the work lies. And I do believe universally, we will keep getting those lessons until we learn them. You know, like I used to say with relationships, it was like doing the leaving cert year after year or failing. I must have failed at like 7 years in a row because I kept getting the same lesson. But I wasn't learning it, so I kept repeating it. So there comes a point where you do have to say, and that's not nice, but you do have to say, am I the common denominator here? Like, where is this work that needs to be sat with and reflected on? And, you know, that piece of shadow work. And that has to be done. A lot of people don't want to do that and don't want to face that. They don't want to believe that they're the problem. They'll keep repeating.
Or maybe the next relationship, that'll fix me. That'll make it all okay. I'll just date Amy. I'll tell her all my shit on the first date. Tell her all about my mother, who she happens to have the same hair color as, totally by coincidence. And it'll all be fine.
It'll be all good.
And so tell me about confidence.
I think a lot of people get mixed up with confidence and self-esteem. I think a lot of people actually think they're lacking confidence and self-confidence. And self-confidence is a skill that can be built. But actually, I know what a lot of people I work with, when you really get into it, that probably comes down to actually a lack of self-esteem. And the really interesting thing about self-esteem is no baby is born with low self-esteem, low self-love, okay? But it's throughout life and truth. We all have shit and we all go through trauma, different levels. But that lack of self-worth and self-esteem can lose it, and we can lose who we are. And I think to really build back up that self-worth and self-love that we hear a lot of people reflect on, that's a huge journey that, you know, one needs to go on. And I think the first and foremost thing to say is that takes time. I get such an knee-jerk reaction when I see these people online selling these like self-love, this one-day workshop and you'll love yourself, or follow these three easy steps and love yourself. And you know what? It just to a degree kind of boils my blood, because for so many years I was that girl, like no self-esteem, I had no self-worth, I had no self-love. And it's such false and misleading advertisement when people are selling this, because if only it was as easy as doing a 2-hour workshop on Zoom and you would love yourself, that would be the dream, wouldn't it? But it's not. And I think it really sells a false representation of actually how hard it is doing that work. Like, we know, we're quite into our personal development. That work is hard, and that's why a lot of people don't do it. But it's so powerful once you do it. So I think back to what you were saying about self-confidence, it's actually, you know what? Have I got self-worth first?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have self-worth, then really pinpoint it. Where is that coming from? And starting there as your set point of starting to create and build back up that self-worth. And the one key factor, I believe, in building self-esteem, self-worth, is self-acceptance has to come first.
Mm-hmm.
So with that acceptance in you and where you are right now in the present moment, and accepting the past as well, and maybe parts of you that aren't easy to accept.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think about that all the time. I've probably even told you this story before, but, you know, it's one of the things that's always stuck with me from the time I spent in modeling. I used to train new models at the agency. And part of the reason why I stepped away from that part of it was because it was quietly soul destroying to see people come in who thought, okay, I'll get into this industry and it'll build my confidence, or I'll, you know, meet people, I'll feel more outgoing, you know, all these kind of different aims that ran alongside, oh, there might be a profession here. And time again, what I'd see is if people came in without that self-worth, and yeah, I guess to an extent within that self-acceptance, it would all fall on deaf ears. You know, they could book a dream job. They could have a really good casting. The agency could really take them under their wing and support them. And any of these kind of positive external factors would not resonate because they didn't believe them. You know, someone could say, you've got a great look, you'll be perfect for this agency, or you'll be perfect to represent this brand. And they wouldn't believe it. And it was hard to watch at times because they were really kind of craving something externally, but it wasn't there internally. And so it just wasn't then matching up.
You know, I know what that's like, and you're placing your worth in the validation of others. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. That validation from others is not always going to be there. Not everyone is going to rate you. Not everyone is going to like you. But the difference is when you like yourself and you rate yourself, it's a lot easier to take. But when you don't, unfortunately, it's just reconfirming that limiting belief that you're not good enough. And I think when...
You find ways to rationalize out of it. You're like, oh, that person thinks I'm attractive. Oh, it must be a fluke. They must love my outfit, or they must be lying to me, or like, we'll talk ourselves out of
the nicest compliments. Like, yeah. And like what you were saying earlier regarding when someone thinks, oh, I don't want to work with customers today or whatever. Like, it's like you're putting that out there to the universe. So that's what you're going to attract. So when you believe you're not good enough, or you believe X, Y, or Z is going to happen, you're going to create that to happen. You're going to look for those reasons to confirm your limiting belief that you're not good enough. Mm-hmm. So it's a vicious circle. And until you do the work, and it's different for everyone. Sometimes you think there's going to be this big aha moment, and it's a journey. But until you go on that journey and do that work and change your own thinking and your own belief system, nothing else will change.
Yeah, you're not going to be an easy person to love.
No.
You know, maybe you're not going to let people in. Maybe you're going to be combative. Maybe you're going to, you know, push people away or try and hold them too tight, you know? I relate to all of that. And I'm reminded, even if you don't mind me sharing, like the first time you kind of talked about like that experience of having to learn to find yourself attractive, I didn't really take you seriously at the time because it so did not match up for me. I'm like, I wasn't sure.
You actually said something where, just to paint the picture for people, we're sitting in class and you said something really smart, like really sarcastic, thinking like I was taking the piss.
Yeah, I thought you were doing a bit about being unattractive, and I therefore teased you. And then you were actually being serious. And I was like, oh, has no one told her how beautiful she is? But that's the point. It can't be something that's told to you. You know, you've got to figure that out for yourself. And, you know, I think it's difficult. You know, it's not the way that we're sort of raised to prioritize that internal work a lot of the time. We're raised in family units, and it's like, how do we look after everyone around us? And there's so much to that, absolutely. A part of doing that effectively is also knowing how to love yourself. You know, I'm around me 24/7. There's so much time to practice. If I want to figure out how to love somebody, I've got all my life to practice that right here.
Yeah, it's so true.
And then build out from there.
Yeah. Like they say, the relationship you have with yourself is the most important one you'll ever have. And it's so true because, you know, you're with yourself 24 hours a day. How you speak to yourself sets the tone for everything else. If you can't yourself love, compassion and kindness, how can you give it to others or be open enough to receive it from others?
Yeah, my absolute favorite motivational speaker, Lisa Nichols, says you've got to be the example to the world on how to love you. And I think that's important. And sometimes we can feel that that might be selfish or it might be self-centered, but we would also want that for other people. I would want to be in relationships where those people love themselves. I don't want to be the only one that loves you. I want you to also care about and look after yourself and mind yourself. I'm not going to be around all the time, you know?
100%. And I think even, you know, people that love themselves are a lot more stable and secure in relationships, and that then creates a happy relationship. Like, how many people cheat, and actually they cheat out of insecurity in themselves, nothing to do with who they're with, but the damage that creates and causes. At the moment, I don't know if you've seen it, I've seen people saying to me that, like, there's these, like, I don't know, I think Facebook, I could be sending this wrong because I haven't seen it myself, like these Facebook groups and stuff, you can go on and be like, are we dating the same guy or are we dating the same girl?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that, you know, girls, you know, because I think it is more of a common thing for girls, so they would just take the time, instead of obsessing about are we dating the same guy, and that they would just actually take the time to actually work on themselves, build up their own self-love, self-worth, self-confidence.
Yeah, ask the question of, like, why are you going to put up with that?
Yeah.
If you think this person is committing to multiple people and that's not something you've talked about, you know, why is it that you're going to put up with it? Because you could ask them. You could have the conversation. Maybe you have and you think they're lying to you. I mean, I'm sure I've said this to you before. Like, one of my things is when you're checking that person's phone, the trust is already gone.
Yeah.
So I think we do need to trust our gut on a lot of this stuff. If you don't feel comfortable, safe with the person you're with, that might be your stuff. That might be the dynamic. But either way, something's got to be done.
100%. And it's not healthy if you're constantly checking someone's phone or constantly searching, are they on whatever, you know, sites or whatever. It's not healthy for anyone. And it's definitely not healthy for you. So it's like, you need to, like, that's where I suppose the reflection and the inner work comes into play. You're like, is this old stories, past trauma that's bringing itself to the surface now from old wounds, old hurt? Or isn't it, as you say, like, I just have a bad feeling about this person? Well, either way, the answers are within you. They're not externally by trying to find that validation or reassurance from someone's phone. Look too, if you really want to talk about it, if you went looking for something on someone's phone, you could probably find something that you could, if you wanted to, state as, like, not good.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to read the entirety of somebody's text, you're going to be like, well, that joke was a bit shit. Maybe they don't have a good sense of humor. As we move on to our rules of the game, I kind of have one that's inspired by that, which is there can be this tendency also to engage with somebody's social media as a way to feel closer to them. You know, if you're in a relationship of constantly checking their socials and not necessarily you're suspicious of finding something, you miss them or you want to feel closer to them, or you have, like, loads of favorite songs that remind you of them. And there's these ways in which you're kind of building on the intimacy and feeling close to them in a way that they're not active in. I don't mind admitting it. It's been a sign that there's something missing in the intimacy of the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a difference between the person's away on holiday for 2 weeks and I miss them. This is part of the ongoing dynamic.
You see, there's something missing. Like, sometimes the logical brain makes sense of that, because on paper everything seems,
they've got the good job, they've got the same hair color, they only do cocaine on Fridays,
something doesn't feel right. You need to listen to that. In the past, I would argue with myself, because I used to argue and try tell the difference between my brain trying to protect me. Because the brain doesn't try and make you happy, it tries to protect you. So it brings the subconscious mind, it brings up memories from the past. If I had an ex-boyfriend 10 years ago that cheated on me and done X, Y, and Z, if I'm with someone today and he shows any sort of similarities, you know, not even red flags, but, you know, it might be that they go to the same place every week or whatever, your brain will bring up that memory because it's trying to protect you from danger. Right. And that's the brain doing its job. But I used to really argue with myself, trying to tell the difference between what was the brain and what was actually my intuition? Because intuition's always right. That's that gut feeling that you can't, the logical brain can't understand it or explain it, but it's always right. But telling the difference at times between what's my intuition and what's my overactive fear, imagination, can be really hard in that moment, can't it?
Yeah. And sadly for us thinkers, there's not a way to think yourself out of that. There's not a perfect line of logic you can figure out to, you know, formulate what is a gut feeling and what is something that I can put into words and logic and sentiment. And on that note, then, we'll wrap up there. If people want to find out more about your work, you've got a whole website, which we've been talking about redesigning. So who knows what it'll look like by the time this comes out?
It could look completely different if Bobby has his way.
Give us the web address. Where do they find you on social media?
GambaruCoaching.ie or on Instagram at GambaruCoaching, and it's GambaruCoaching.
Yeah, I would recommend check out the Instagram. It'll really give you an insight into Amy's work. And yeah, what a fun person that you are. And so we'll wrap up there and we'll see what else comes up in the behind the paywall. I don't have any questions in mind. We'll have a roll.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.